Brian Kelly always says we're shopping down a different aisle.
He's shopping in a different aisle. To me, I look at it a little bit different.
He's at Whole Foods.
Yeah,
definitely.
He's at Whole Foods, right?
So, he talks about these limitations.
I know. That's
it
my,
has to wear.
But that's
on Brian Kelly.
That's my question.
It's the future.
Down and distance on WGNRadio.com.
All right, welcome into Down in Distance right here, WGNRadio.com. Sean M. Davis, SD2 Mics on Twitter. You can follow us at Dad Pod on Twitter with the man, the myth, the legend, Jared Payton at Payton Son, PaytonSun. If you get the SON, you're getting little man Jaden on the Twitter feed.
He's dabbing today.
Man, we got a lot of football to get to. A lot. Matt Forte, Jermaine Bushrod, no longer Chicago Bears. But we want to start off with a special story. You know it's special for me, JP.
Oh, yes.
News broke yesterday. I hit you up immediately because I thought this was an incredible story and the true meaning of what a student athlete is. Straight from Notre Dame, third year, offensive guard, Steve Elmer, highly touted, based upon the history of offensive linemen, the recent history in the NFL draft, likely a second or third round pick in next year's NFL draft. He has not only stepped away from football altogether, he will graduate from the University of Notre Dame with his degree in May. He stepped away from football to chase a career outside of football that he said is a lifelong dream of his as well. And to talk about it, we're going to bring in Comcast Chicago's own insider for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, J.J. Stankiewicz, right here on Down and Distance. JJ, what's going on, man?
Not much. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, we appreciate you joining us.
Always,
so,
man.
When this story broke yesterday, it was almost twofold, and I'll get to the part two that most people really don't even realize, that almost two players from the Notre Dame program stepped away from football altogether. We'll get to that second player that decided to stay. But what do you think went into the final decision for Steve Elmer to leave the football program?
Well, the first thing to note about Steve Elmer, just, you know, when we as the media talk to these guys in interview settings, it's hard to get to know them beyond kind of your surface level observations. But my surface level observation with Steve Elmer always was he's a really sharp kid, really, you could tell he was one of the more motivated academically kids that you talk to. The fact that he interned for the Michigan congressman from his district up in Midland over the summer and, you know, clearly made some connections in D.C. I believe it's a consulting job he's going into. It makes a lot of sense. And he enrolled early at Notre Dame in January of 2013, so he's able to get his degree in basically 3.5 years. I think the other point that, you know, he obviously didn't mention in his kind of Players Tribune-esque write-up on UND.com was that, I mean, you guys both know football is such a punishing game, and especially for an offensive lineman where you're banging heads every single play. I wonder how much of it became a, you know, I have an opportunity to take the career path that I want. I don't want to continue to play football after college. So, you know, maybe there's something to not wanting to, you know, batter your head for another 13 games, another X amount of practices. And, you know, hey, I can start my career right now. I'm going to get my degree. Almost kind of like, why would I pass this opportunity up?
JJ, I mean, I'm not mad at him, you guys. I mean, this is what you go to school for. I was talking to some kids yesterday in Harvey, Illinois, and I was going just talking with them about, you know, these kids that want to play sports. And, you know, these are elementary school kids. And I said, listen, the one thing that I was never told when I went to the University of Miami is that, you know, athletics is – that's what they're bringing you there for. But the title that you get is student athlete. Student first, athlete second. But with the time commitments, you're always doing your sport, which I was. But when you go to school, JJ, this is the opportunity that you kind of live for. And I think some people might look and go, well, why is he passing up all the money? Where long term, this is something where going to Notre Dame, it's one of those things you were part of, not only just a great university, but you look at the database there. The opportunities are endless. If you have an opportunity to go there, get your school right, keep your head focused. I mean, he's really used football as a tool to be able to kind of maybe get him set for the rest of his life.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why he chose Notre Dame. I mean, he was a four-star prospect coming out of high school. You know, probably could have gone to almost anywhere, especially around the Big Ten. But he saw Notre Dame and said, you know, look at the opportunities I can get at this school by playing football. And, you know, I think he's kind of your shining example of everything that Notre Dame wants out of a student athlete. Now, would they have liked to have him around for another year and then have him go do this? Of course. But, you know, I think you saw it in Brian Kelly's statement yesterday. You saw it as how the university presented this whole thing, that they're just so incredibly proud of Steve Elmer for the career path that he's now going to go on because of their university, because of their football program, and because of the opportunities that he has been presented at the University of Notre Dame.
Now, there's an amazing connection to Steve Elmer that a lot of people might not know about unless you're close to the program. The soon-to-be student body president, son of the admiral, Corey Robinson, also contemplated leaving the football program recently and decided recently to come back. With all the philanthropic work he's been doing in the last 2 years, and if I'm not mistaken, JJ, they both came in as early enrollees in the same year,
yeah,
didn't they?
They did. That's correct.
And they formed a great relationship. So it seems like, you know, when you look at these type of players and the impact that the not 40 mantra, that's what they tell you as a recruit at Notre Dame. This is not a four-year decision. This is a 40-year decision. It seems like you really have to be a certain type of player to come in and coexist in that type of academic and athletic environment down in South Bend.
You do. And, you know, Brian Kelly always says we're shopping down a different aisle, you know, in recruiting. And obviously they've pulled kids who are not, you know, I think Elmer and Robinson are probably on the upper end of, you know, the kind of character and the kind of the people that they bring in. You know, it's, you can't bring in a team of 85 Corey Robinsons and Steve Elmers, but I don't think 85 of those people may exist at the college level. But these are the people that Notre Dame wants to hold up, you know, alongside the Jalen Smiths, the Ronnie Stanleys, the Will Fullers, these great athletes who are going to turn pro and be in the NFL. I think they really like the balance that they're able to have between, hey, okay, you want to come here and you want to be in politics, well, follow Corey Robinson's path, or you want to come here, graduate early, get a great consulting job in Washington, D.C., follow Steve Elmer's path. Or you want to come here and you want to have a shot to play in the NFL in 3 years, follow Jalen Smith's path. I think they have a really good balance between those two types of players. And really, I mean, that's not to say that, you know, Jalen Smith was never, you know, academically motivated or any of that stuff. But I think that they're able to pull in those kind of guys who fit their university so well. And that's been one of the most impressive things that I think Brian Kelly has developed, is that they continue to recruit so well within kind of the limitations that are provided by the university, that year in and year out, they're just reloading the roster. And I think that's a testament to the kind of stability that Kelly has really brought to this program that they certainly didn't have under Weiss. They didn't have it under Willingham. They didn't have it under Bob Davies. So I think that's been one of the success stories. And obviously Kelly can point to Corey Robinson, he can point to Steve Elmer, just as he can point to Jalen Smith, Will Fuller, Zach Martin, Manti Te'o, Tyler Eifert, some of those guys.
JP and JJ. I mean,
no, hold up.
He
hold
talks
up.
About these limitations.
I know that's
it
my,
has to wear.
But that's
on Brian Kelly.
That's my question.
Because
to JJ.
He wants to win.
JJ, you talked about it. You said he's shopping in a different aisle. To me, I look at it a little bit differently.
He's at Whole Foods.
Yeah,
definitely.
He's at Whole Foods, right? And you know what the price is at Whole Foods. It's a little bit different than going to your local grocery store. How much do you think that eats at him that he can't be diverse and go around? Because it's got to be tough with all those limitations.
Well, yeah, you can't recruit anyone you want. But when it comes down to recruiting a guy against, you know, an SEC school or, you know, maybe you say, okay, you know, the kid who wants to just go to school for 3 years and turn pro, you know, maybe that's not the kid that we're looking for. And yeah, those kids are obviously great for football success, but let's not forget that I think Brian Kelly, if there is any consternation there, it's been diminished by just how successful they were in 2015 when they had, I think it was a dozen regular players and or starters suffer significant injuries and miss significant time. And they just plugged in a ton of kids into these positions and still won. I mean, no one knew that DeShone Kizer was going to come out and have the season that he had. No one knew that Josh Adams, a three-star running back from Pennsylvania who was pretty lightly recruited, would come out and break Notre Dame's freshman record for rushing yards. They've just developed so well, these kids, and I think that's the other arm of it, is that Notre Dame may not be able to recruit the kids that, you know, Alabama and LSU and USC and some of these powerhouse programs can, but they've developed players so well lately that, you know, yeah, a three-star player like Josh Adams that, you know, had no chance of ever going to one of your traditional powerhouse programs all of a sudden comes in. Notre Dame's like, we got a steal here. And he turns out to be a really great player, a guy who I think is going to have a huge sophomore season this coming fall just as a three-star kid.
Yeah.
And then they still are able to pull the five stars, the, you know, the Jalen Smith this year. They got Dalen Hayes, a five-star linebacker slash defensive end from the Ann Arbor area up in Michigan. So they still are able to pull really good players. But, you know, not only are they pulling these guys, they're developing them very well.
Let's be honest, and I want to throw something at you right here, JJ. You talk about Steve Elmer, four stars coming out of high school, ballyhooed. Is it safe to say that his on-field performance didn't quite reach the expectations that most people had for him? And with that, going into his internship and the work he did this summer, if he indeed realized that he could become a star in that field, and was honest enough with himself to look at his performance thus far on the field at Notre Dame, is it safe to say that heavily weighed into his decision? The fact that he didn't see himself possibly living up to the expectations that not only he had on the field for himself, but that others had for him?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know if Steve Elmer would have had a, you know, a really good shot at contending, you know, at being an NFL player. You know, the NFL draft expert is something that I usually lean on other people for.
Yeah.
But, I mean, size-wise, athletically-wise, he probably would have found his way onto an NFL roster, at least at the start of his career. You know, I think the point there is that no matter what, Steve Elmer was Notre Dame, would have been Notre Dame's most experienced returning offensive lineman with 30 starts. Those 30 starts are more than the combined number of starts that Notre Dame's current crop of returning offensive linemen have, which is 27. So even if Steve Elmer maybe didn't live up to the potential that, you know, he expected when he came to Notre Dame, he still is going to be a big part of that offensive line next year. And I think the other thing with him, too, is that, you know, he came in as a tackle, got moved to guard immediately as a freshman, then got moved back outside to tackle in 2014 for the start of the season, then three games in, got moved back to guard, and was just finally settling into a starting role at guard. 2015 was his first full season starting at guard at the college level. So he probably definitely had some room to grow. Harry Hiestand's done a phenomenal job developing offensive linemen at Notre Dame over the last couple years. And you got to figure probably would have done a pretty decent job with Elmer. But I just think, again, this is an opportunity that if you're looking at your career and you say, okay, maybe I'll stick on an NFL roster for 3 years and then I have to go find something else to do, you know, Steve Elmer's probably going to wind up making more money over the course of his life by starting this consulting job now than he would have had he gone to the NFL and then figured stuff out after it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So true.
Well, looking at the environment right now, concussions, CTE, do you foresee more players leaving before eligibility is up to pursue other things, not just at Notre Dame, possibly schools like Stanford, Georgia Tech, other high-end academic institutions where guys just figure it out now and say, you know what, I'm not going to go through the rigors of the Professional Football League and injure myself any further. I'm going to use my brain to further my career right now.
I don't think it's going to be this, you know, tidal wave of players, you know, all of a sudden saying, oh, I'm going to quit football. You know, I think, Jarrett, you can probably certainly speak to this, that, you know, the bond that you have with your teammates is so strong that, giving that up, you know, is something that definitely was difficult for Steve Elmer. It was something that I think helped keep Corey Robinson around at Notre Dame. It's just the bond that you have with your teammates and just how tight football locker rooms are overall. I think that, you know, you may see, you know, a player like Steve Elmer do this, or a player at Stanford or a smaller school who doesn't really have a shot at the NFL kind of take this leap. But I don't think, you know, it's going to be this huge swell of players going this route. I do definitely think that, you know, the concussion movie and all the research on CTE and brain injuries will have an impact going forward on just how many recruits there are out there. But, you know, in the short term, in the next decade, two decades, whatever, there are always going to be kids playing football, always elite athletes playing football. You know, maybe some of them, you know, maybe more parents start saying, you're not going to play football, you're going to go play soccer, which I'm sure Jurgen Klinsmann would be pretty happy about. But, you know, maybe I don't think there are going to be a whole lot of players who are already in the system who are going to say, whoa, CTE, you know, I'm getting out. I think a lot of them already know what they signed up for.
I'm with you. I mean, I think we're going to start seeing a change. A lot of the youth and these parents that we talk about, and we Sean and I have had this conversation about how it's going to change when you look at different demographics. But a lot of the parents that I talk to, the moms are very, very concerned, and so these kids are starting to play other sports. And so that's what I think we're going to start seeing is missing out on some great athletes playing the game of football. But I still think it's still going to be the greatest game that everybody still wants to watch and still wants to play 10, 15 years. Everybody that says football is done, I don't think so.
I think this line of thinking will become more normal.
It will become more normal.
And I'll go back to a guy that I went to high school with at Morgan Park. It was a left tackle at the University of Michigan, highly touted, drafted in the first round by the Kansas City Chiefs, Trezell Jenkins, got a big contract. A year and a half into the contract, he walked away from football. Now he's a multimillionaire businessman up in Michigan. And back then, everybody said he was crazy to walk away from the money. But I think now, these kids are really looking at and weighing the options. And I think they're making the right decision. I applaud Steve Elmer on the decision. And before we let you go, JJ, I want to know, moving forward, positive for the recruiting wars, something like this for Notre Dame?
Oh, absolutely. This is a total positive for Notre Dame. I mean, especially with going into parents' houses and being able to tell moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, hey, look, you can come here to play football, but look at what one of our students just did. He was able to graduate in 3.5 years and go take a job in the private sector. And I mean, that's an incredible recruiting tool. Again, kind of what we were talking about with the players that Notre Dame is trying to recruit, where they can go tell parents, you send your son to Notre Dame, and maybe he'll go to the NFL. Maybe he'll be the next Jalen Smith. Maybe he'll be the next Will Fuller. Or maybe he'll be the next Corey Robinson. Maybe he'll be the next Steve Elmer. We have opportunities for both of those avenues, where if you want to go play in the NFL, we're going to get you ready to play in the NFL. But if you want to go work a steady job and be in the private sector, we're going to get you ready for that too. It goes both ways, and I think that's an incredible recruiting tool that Notre Dame can have going forward.
Once again, CSN Chicago Zone, JJ Stankiewicz right here with us, Down in Distance at Dead Pod. What can they follow you on Twitter, JJ?
You can follow me at JJ Stankiewicz. I'd spell that out, but if you just search at JJS, hopefully it'll start showing up, because I'm kind of sick of it. You guys have no idea how awful it is to have to spell your last name every single phone call you have.
I get it. Mine is hard too. People don't understand mine.
Do you get Jared Payton a lot?
Yeah, I always get that all the time. Jared.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, JJ, man, we appreciate you as always.
What were
man.
You typing away at over there, man? We heard you pounding the keys.
What were you doing?
Wait, what?
You were working on something. We were trying to get the phones, right? You were typing real fast. You got a story coming out?
Yeah, I'm looking at Notre Dame's options in replacing Steve Elmer and kind of how it affects the offensive line shuffle. So going to be posting that one today. And then, you know, just trying to take it easy between now and spring training.
that young offensive line kind of bodes well that they have three reliable quarterbacks on their roster.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, JJ, appreciate your time.
All right, anytime, guys.